Ed Sullivan Show? Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are four of the nicest youngsters we've ever had on our stage. The Beatles, bring them on.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris. And today we're going to continue our 50th anniversary celebration of the Beatles coming to America with a look at probably their most famous set of concerts in that year, which appeared when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show in New York City and in Miami. And we talked a little bit about the first appearance, which happened on February 9th, 1964, but we haven't looked at the other two.
Yeah, three 1964 appearances at Sullivan. Yeah, one in Miami. Yeah, that was the second one. And the third one, of course, was sort of an appearance.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about all three of those, and it'll be a really good shoot.
Thank you, Ed. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Thinking about TV now, how important these shows were, and how weird it is that somebody like Ed Sullivan would be the guy that would sell the Beatles here and make it all happen. Because, I mean, how do you describe his mannerisms and the way he carries on and hosts?
Very strange talking. Yeah. Very seems like he doesn't even know what this group is.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows, you know, just an old-time kind of variety show.
Yeah.
Just your basic run-of-the-mill variety show, nothing too thrilling about it.
Yeah.
There's a great comedian. He's just the most hilarious guy in the world. But there's a certain charm to Ed Sullivan. You know?
Yeah.
The fact that he, like, could sense this Beatles thing ahead of time and just really sold them.
Yeah.
Just really, really. And I think, really, had it not been Ed Sullivan, someone who the kids who were screaming and dying to see the show's parents respected, you know?
Yeah.
That maybe it wouldn't have captured the imagination of the whole country.
That's a great
point.
Maybe
not 70 million people watched it.
I know. Yeah, yeah, that's a great point, because he's seen as sort of the authority figure and someone from the old generation. And hey, if he sees something in these guys, then maybe there's something to him. Even though the stories are that the parents saw the Beatles and said, "Oh no, this is the end of civilization here and end of music and the world as we know it." But still.
Well, hopefully sometime we'll still get a chance to talk to Brenda Hensler, who I went to a concert with, and she was a kid back then.
Yeah.
And she said that her mother and her grandmother thought that there was something very wrong with her, was like very concerned about her, because she was so, like, looking forward to the first Ed Sullivan show. She was so, like, wrapped with it. That, like, couldn't wait, counting down the days and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, so. It was a big deal, very big deal. And the great thing about these shows is that you can now buy them, well, if you've been able to buy them for a little while, but you can get the complete shows. The Beatles appeared four times on Ed Sullivan's show. The fourth time was in 1965. But you can buy all of them uncut from, you know, the entire show. So you get to see not only the Beatles performances, but all these other, as you said, the comedians and other singers and weird acrobats. And
we're going to bring out a fellow now who was very adept at spinning plates.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Charlie the Plate Spinner.
Bring them on. Yeah. You get all these kind of real weird novelty acts that especially now look extremely dated next to the Beatles. And the Beatles look, that you could tell, obviously, they were the draw here. But also you on the show, it's a real period piece when you get the DVDs because they have all the commercials.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and we used to watch these in the class that I taught, and the students loved watching the commercials because they're, some of the products are still, you can still buy today, like Pillsbury and Lipton tea and things like that, but just the commercials are just hilarious. And if anyone has seen these, I won't go into great detail, but the best one for me is probably one for Anacin, the pain reliever, where there's a very tired and grumpy father who comes home to his wife and kids. And I won't go into it, but it's, I think it's, it wouldn't play in 2014. But yeah, the commercials are just hilarious. And some of the other guests, you know, wasn't, there were some other famous people who appeared at the, in the same shows. And I remember you saying, I think when we were talking about this, well, at least they may have been forgotten now, but at least they could always say they performed on the same show as the Beatles. People like these acrobats and variety show guys, they were there.
Oh, yeah. That's their claim to fame now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Old retired people and they're, you know, hey, I met the Beatles, they were very nice. And,
mm-hmm. And that's also a funny thing, too, is in the shows themselves, it's not like now if you go on, you know, Jimmy Fallon's show or whoever doing Letterman or something where they interview you, there's no interviews. They just, the Beatles come out, their hands, they get their hands shook, and that's it. And
yeah, that's an interesting distinction about the Ed Sullivan show, is a variety show, and not, no... Not a small talk chit chat or any of that. It's just like, here's another act, here's a singing act.
Yep.
Here's a comedian. You know, George Carlin was on.
Yeah.
Ed Sullivan a whole bunch, and you know.
And if we just want to segue into our first show, which happened, of course, on February 9th, 1964, the big day, when they were introduced to America, there was. I'll mention someone else who was on the show that same day. It's very funny because he was in a specially made group to emulate the Beatles, and he goes by the name Davy Jones of the Monkees, who was on the same show singing a song from the musical Oliver.
Boy.
Yeah, and he's a little kid in there, it looks like. But that first show had some other fine people. I think Tessie O'Shea was on there.
Everybody remembers Tessie O'Shea.
Some great, great other great people here. But of course, the most famous part about that first show was the introduction when they sang "All My Lovin'."
Yeah. The other thing we mentioned this in a previous podcast was, and it's not to be forgotten that. This is a few short months after the Kennedy assassination,
right? Right.
And there was actually a little program on CBS the morning of the Kennedy assassination that they were going to replay about the Beatles. Like, oh, listen, look at what's happening with this crazy band from England. And then, you know, all that was just ditched once the Kennedy assassination happened about noontime that day. So, you know, just another reason why it just kind of exploded the way it did, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to do is in, with all that context, play some of the tracks that they, played live here and then discuss them a little bit. And I want to think about, especially from the New York shows to the one in Miami, how they sounded any different or they seem more comfortable or... how do they, you know, what's it sound like here back in 1964 on these shows?
So let's talk about the set list of the first show. Of course, everybody knows it started with "All My Loving," and then kind of a curious choice maybe for the second ever song on TV, "Till There Was You,"
mm-hmm.
which is another Paul-led vocal too.
Right.
And it kind of odd. And then she loves you. In fact, the whole first set is kind of a Paul-centered vocal performance, really.
And that's...
And I found, like, maybe that the mics were a little bit, like, off, too. And that you hear a lot more Paul, and you hear not so much John vocal and not so much lead guitar in this first Ed Sullivan show. Anyway, so Till There Was You, She Loves You, and then I saw her standing there, and then I Want to Hold Your Hand, and that was it for the first appearance.
Yeah, they played the first three in one, or back-to-back, and then they had all these other acts in between, and then they came back and played the other two after that.
So the Screaming Girls wouldn't leave this.
Well, that's the thing. And the best part, I love Ed Sullivan, his mannerisms and things, because he kept shushing the audience all the time and saying, quiet, quiet. Yeah, he's waving his hand, quiet, and standing there, shh, you promised you'd be good, shh. Can you see that happening nowadays? It's just hilarious how he... And he keeps, you know, clearing his throat. A very not professional quality polish of today's entertainers and hosts.
Well... Though it had to be the most bizarre experience of his life.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Because he's done probably almost 1,000 of these shows by then.
Yep.
And is like, all right, well, we'll have these kids in. And then it's screaming constantly from the audience. Very strange.
Yeah, I'm sure it was like that even with Elvis and people like that, but nothing to this extent. So.
Yeah. So. Well, let's hear a little bit of one of these. Let's hear I Saw Her Standing There, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean. And the way she looked was way beyond compare.
I love the screams that keep interspersing with the sound. It's great.
Yeah.
Pretty rockin' version there. You can hear John sort of a little bit in the background. But you're right. This is a very Paul-heavy song and a very Paul-heavy set. In fact, you barely even see John in the show. He's not... I don't know. He was off camera a lot for some reason. But they
must have been like, somebody... He's singing all his songs. Paul must be the leader of this.
Right. Exactly. But it sounds great. And people always said, or my students always said, that the Beatles looked very nervous on that first show. And I'm sure they were. And they do seem a little bit nervous. But by this point, it's the second half, and I think they look a little more comfortable. But
Now, I believe this was the big arrows set, right?
Yeah.
They had a set of just gigantic arrows pointing at the Beatles, in case you didn't know where they were.
Right.
There's like 7 or 8 just gargantuan arrows.
Real kind of funny direction sorts of decisions here, but...
If you saw the 50th anniversary kind of... CBS special with where Ringo and Paul sort of reunited recently. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the year. There was a little bit of that. If you didn't catch that, you could check it out because there's a little bit of discussion about the sets and people reminiscing about where it was on the stage, which is now the David Letterman I don't know what's going to happen to that. Are they going to keep the Are they going to keep the Ed Sullivan Theater for
Stephen Colbert?
Let's. I don't know.
Yeah,
I need to figure that out. But anyway, yeah, there was a lot of reminiscing about those crazy sets.
Absolutely, and the Ringo's up on a high riser too. When they kind of pan in on him, they said the cameras were on cranes and were kind of moving in, giving him close-ups of Ringo. So.
Oh, and then there's one other kind of hilarious thing, which is, and which I think it caused a little consternation, which is they always tried to hide that John was married.
Oh, yes, that was, yeah.
But then during the, I think it was Till There Was You,
yep.
They put a graphic up that's like, sorry, girls, he's married.
Yeah, they showed all the different Beatle names, and they, sorry, girls, he's married, and they kind of, woo! Thing and the girls and John looked a little embarrassed when he found out what was happening. But yeah, so great way to introduce themselves to America.
Yeah, well, how would you rate that set list?
Well, yeah, this is of course a vehicle to sell their most popular singles at the time. It's interesting, we'll do a kind of a summary here at the end, but I Want to Hold Your Hand appears on all three of the shows and they end with that one. So that was clearly the big hit that got them the fame in America, so it makes sense. But I think it's pretty good. It's a little Paul heavy. There's no John Leeds in that set at all. But it's very energetic. I'm not sure about Till There Was You, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
My Lovin', that version of All My Lovin', though, is the one I think of when I think of.
That's the classic. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, there's February 9th, 1964, and then a week later, they went down to, and as Ed Sullivan says it in all of his videos, he says, Miami Beach.
Yeah, they took their talents to Miami.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this was in February 16th, 1964. Went down to Miami. If you watch the Beatles anthology, they talk about this and they show some of the rehearsal for the concert that was never released, but they talk about what they did in Miami. Very fun. They took out a boat and Ringo was somehow in charge of driving the boat or steering it and bent the bar.
What are they thinking? Seriously, who wants to drive the boat? Oh, Ring wants to drive the boat. No, don't let him do it.
Yeah, Ring. So they were having a good time, enjoying the sun and enjoying Miami. And this concert was filmed at the Deauville Hotel, which is still there, and I'll tell you a story in a little bit. But it was a famous one of those hotels like the Sands in Las Vegas, or one of those places where like all the Rat Pack guys would come, you know, Sinatra and Dean Martin and all those sorts of entertainers would do their shtick. And so this is where they put on the show, and so you have the set list for us?
Yeah, so the set list for the second one here, Live from Miami Beach, She Loves You, This Boy, which of course is one of my...
Yes.
All My Lovin' again, and then I Saw Her Standing There, From Me to You, and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
A couple different tunes here. Interesting that both songs in the two spot from this and the previous are slower tunes with This Boy and Till There Was You.
Yeah, curious in sets. Yeah. You don't usually do that, Yuri.
No, you could do three.
Play
in
one
row
and then pop it up even further and then maybe bring it down for third. But, you know, short appearances. So let's hear a little bit of This Boy and then we'll talk about the sound stuff there and some of those things. So here's This Boy.
Back again.
I was gonna say the crowd was a little less rowdy there.
They were, I know.
Until after John gave him the goods.
Yeah, seriously, I know.
Almost made me scream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. There were, as you said, a lot of mic problems at this show, and yeah. Some technical difficulties. You can see them having mic issues in the actual video, and yeah. Turning the mic and not having it catch. So. But this tune, for some reason, even though certain elements are really pronounced, it sounds really good.
Yeah, it sounds terrific. The bass, particularly throughout this whole show, is like way out there in front, and some of the solos are a little buried. But real good. That particular track sounds, it is really great.
We were talking during
Newsflash, the Beatles are really good.
In case you didn't know what we really thought here.
So you're doing 40 some episodes to come to that conclusion.
You know, they are pretty damn good, actually. Yeah. There's not, like we were saying when we were listening to this, you said there's nowhere to hide. And you know, you can hear that three-part harmony so well. And John is so smooth, he wails in that section that we just ended with. But then he pulls it back right at when they go to the three singers, and it's just so smooth, like so professional. No, it doesn't sound abrupt or abrasive. Pretty great. Now, a personal connection here, if I can indulge our listeners here.
Yeah.
I have this passion for going and seeing where Beatles stayed or lived. I've been to Montreal, and we've been to New Orleans, so Montreal, where John and Yoko had the bed in, and where Paul stayed in Wings with Venus and Mars in the 70s, and New Orleans, etc. So, having lived in Florida for 6 years, I went to Miami a few times, and with a good friend of mine, friend of the show, Doug, who we went to a McCartney show with, we went over there. He came and visited, and we stayed at the Deauville Hotel purposely. And so we went up, we got our room, and we got up to the room. It was nice. We thought, okay, this is great. And then all of a sudden, I was doing a little internet searching, and I thought, wonder where the Beatles stayed. And so I typed in Beatles Deauville Hotel room, and I found a room number. And so I told Doug, we both looked at each other and said, we're going to go change it. So we went downstairs and said, we want room 1112. And the hotel guy said, oh, that room. And so it's like, he knew, and he said, oh, yes, that's a famous room. So we found out it was Ocean View, so it was very nice, a little more expensive. But that's where Paul, Ringo, and George stayed. And then John and Cynthia stayed next door.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so we were in the room. Doug pointed out that it's probably been remodeled since the Beatles were in there.
I was going to say, have they changed the sheets since then?
Yes, they did change the sheets. So it was pretty great, and we felt really connected to them. That was a lot of fun. And then we went downstairs to the Napoleon Ballroom, which is where the concert was. And there was like a birthday party or something going in, but we snuck in anyway. And I stood on the stage, and it was a little moment of excitement there to commune with the Beatles. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice hotel and right on the beach, and nice pool. You see the pool in the video, the Ed Sullivan video. You can see it, and it's still there. So if you go to Miami, check it out.
Plus, a lot of this is highlighted in the Beatles' first U.S. visit.
That's
video.
Right. Yeah,
seeing that, of course, I just picture them in the sort of lighter clothes and hats and stuff of Miami.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And think, coming from Liverpool, where it's, or England, where it's gray and gloomy, that's pretty exciting to
go. Oh, Miami girls. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yep. So that was February 16th, 1964.
So, then a third concert. Oh, a whole new, concert, huh?
Yeah. Not really. No, the strange thing, this one on February 23rd was actually recorded before the live show in the February 9th.
So this was three consecutive Sundays, is that correct?
Yeah, because it's 9th, 16th, and 23rd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the set list on this one?
Well, there's only three songs. They played Twist and Shout, Please Please Me, and I Want to Hold Your Hand Again.
Yeah.
So it was a brief set, so it was all pre-recorded, but at least we had two different ones in there.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit of Please Please Me from the third show, which really is the first show, but not really.
Yeah.
So here's Please Please Me.
Yeah, so a version of Please Please Me from February 23rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think of their, how they sound on that one?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. The girls are going crazy.
They are.
It's almost hard to concentrate with all that screaming.
You know? I know. I imagine being in the actual studio and hearing the screaming. As we said, it was pre-recorded, but two of those three songs were on the Please Please Me album, which really had not been featured on the previous two shows, except for I saw her standing there.
Yeah.
So,
well, they didn't know what the Please Please Me album was.
Yeah, it wasn't released, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So, and they joke, there's a lot of kind of, it became standard banter that Paul would do to the audience talking about, oh, this is on our latest LP, that's album. And this one's called Please Please Me. It's on our first LP album.
Album. Oh, we call it an LP album.
Yeah.
It's almost like the whole Chiefs thing that confused him so much when we saw him in Kansas City.
Chiefs.
It's like, okay, we're not, you're confused that we're confused.
Yes,
we're not
one
confused
of those.
Here. You're the one confused, Paul.
Yes, exactly. I know.
LP album. It's a record.
Yes,
you know what a record is.
It's a piece
Hello,
of
America.
Yeah.
So strange. Such a strange land for them.
I know.
America.
Yeah.
America where crazy girls just scream at you all the time.
Yep. No kidding. And so, yeah. What do you think about the fact that they ended with I Want to Hold Your Hand on all three performances?
Well, I mean, it's you know, they probably were... That was probably Brian's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, this is the, we know this is going to be the number one hit, or it already is the number one hit at the time, so close with these each time and all that. I think maybe it would have been maybe a better choice to play all different sets for all three Ed Sullivan shows, but, you know.
Yeah, you gotta go out and play the hits.
You gotta give the kids what they want. You know?
Yeah, you're not gonna go out and play A Taste of Honey.
Yeah, the screaming will stop.
The screaming would definitely stop.
Turn into
that.
Booze.
Yes, exactly.
No. Taste Honey.
Yeah, so if you had to sum up overall here the Ed Sullivan performances, your final thoughts or summary thoughts on these shows and what they look like and all that.
Well, even the one that had all the mic problems and Paul's mic was dead and all that kind of stuff. But his bass was not.
No.
Like, oh, his mic's dead, just turn up his bass. That's it, you know.
That's how you work it.
Yeah. They sound just fantastic. Yeah. Very fresh. Very, you know, very exciting.
And that's nice because a lot of the performances later in the year when they're playing the bigger stadiums and things, they sound terrible because it's just overwhelmed by the screams.
Yeah.
But here you can get them in a small environment.
Yeah. Perhaps we'll talk next year about the fourth.
Oh yeah.
Sullivan appearance.
Because it's pretty interesting too. We should. Yeah.
And there were other appearances, but it was always at that point they were like, well, send him another promo video.
Yep.
Send our buddy Ed a promo video all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Band basically.
Even they I think was on there. Yeah.
They stayed loyal and friendly to Ed Sullivan and sent him a video to Hello Goodbye, I think debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show. And the one note I'd say, although we might talk about it next year, about the fourth one was they appeared, and then the following week, Ed Sullivan Show appeared for the first time in color.
Yeah, so missed them.
One week earlier.
I know. Someone would have held that for the Beatles. But
Yeah,
so it's exciting to look through all the great things that happened in 1964 that really made the Beatles take their meteoric rise. And certainly the Ed Sullivan shows are a huge part of that.
Yeah.
So we want to give our thanks to friend of the show, Amy, who made a comment on our Podbean page that she thought it might be interesting for us to look at some of the other shows and maybe talk about the Miami show. So we decided to do all three instead.
And thanks, Amy. Thanks to all of you listening and comment. Right now, we're still taking suggestions. You can go to our Facebook page, our Twitter. Our Twitter is at I Got a Beatles. Our Facebook is just on Facebook, I Got a Beatles podcast, or on Podbean or any of those, and suggest a 50th episode for us because our 50th is coming up.
It
hot
is.
And quick.
And we've gotten a lot of really good ideas, so it's
going
to be tough to pick one, but rest assured that we are filing them away, and we'll return to them after the 50th episode. So
And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about this year, because all of a sudden there's all these releases.
Yeah.
McCartney's releasing a bigger, longer version of New. There's the Art of McCartney, which is coming out, tribute McCartney album, and of course the Venus and Mars deluxe version, which I'm sure we're both gonna get.
Already got my pre-order.
Wings at the Speed of Sound deluxe. Yep.
They're
a little cheaper, those deluxes, this time. So
that's true. A little less lavish. Maybe no lithographs involved in these. I don't know.
Yeah, so, and you've been wanting hot new pressing and Wonderwall music for a long time. And that's coming up in the Apple box set of George Harrison coming up.
Yes, I can hardly wait to get Electronic Sound. One of the two great Zapple releases that
So we'll talk about as many of those as we can, and we'll talk of course we're going to do the other Beatles album that came out in 1964.
Beatles for Sale,
which might be a hotly debated one.
I think it will be.
Between the two of us.
You'll like it. I think it'll be pretty electric on that one. So.
But this was fun to talk about this Ed Sullivan thing. And we'll go out with this song. Now, you'll hear some laughter right at the beginning of this. And that's because right before it, Paul McCartney told a hilarious joke that he always told.
Yeah, he had this joke. I don't know. It was he used it, I think, at the London in front of the Queen, the Palladium concert too. He said, "This is by our favorite American group, Sophie Tucker," and everybody sort of laughed a little bit. Sophie Tucker was a Big Mama kind of singer. She was Russian-born, I think, but sang these sort of real brassy kinds of songs and had a good girth to her. And yeah, sort of, I don't know, I think you had to be there to really get it. I don't know.
Yeah. But, well, anyway, you told it here and during the Miami concert. Yeah, crickets.
It fell flat. It fell flat, and so you hear John trying to make up for the crickets in the audience with his little sarcastic chuckle at the beginning. So
yep. Yeah. So, and of course, that proceeds the big 1964 hit. Of course, you know, everybody's favorite 1964 Beatles song, number one hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand. So that'll close us out here, and we'll talk to you next time.
And we'd like to finish off this bit with a song which has always been a great favorite of ours. This is one that was recorded by our favorite American group, Sophie Tucker. Happy.